The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Thank you for empowering me.
Here's what I think is going on.
I think you're a hoot and a half.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
I just love your show.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are really smart.
I am sensitive and understanding and nurturing.
Your show to me is like a comedy information show.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
And having attended the home parish of Mother Angelica, St. Anthony, southeast end of Canton, Ohio, where the big wave of Italian immigrants came in the early part of the 20th century and included my grandmother and my grandfather. And it was law. You had to go to St. Anthony. That was the rule in those days. Delighted to be here with you on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, the call-in program. You are the callers. I am the callee. You go through, you have to climb a number of obstacles. You either talk to Eric Dumont, the assistant call screamer, or Andrew Kruchek, producer man and official call screamer there at Ave Maria Radio Studios, comes to here at the speed of light, and I answer the questions at the speed of thought. I'm a psychologist. That's my profession. On the radio, we can educate, give ideas and some ponderings and some options. Sometimes these are personal matters. Sometimes these are generic matters. Sometimes it's a question about faith intersection with life or faith intersection with psychology. Sometimes you offer ideas to help other people. Usually those come in when people think I fell dramatically short in giving any kind of helpful feedback whatsoever. I try not to take it personally. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Question about a kid, question about a marriage, situation, a relationship, an adult child, a struggle, an emotional piece of turbulence. You name it. We'll see what we can do. We'll put our heads together, see if we can come up with something that helps. See, it's a momentum response. By that is, you hope to give some piece of guidance that you can grab onto and then gain momentum in solving the problem. You don't call in and get a piece of guidance that solves the problem. It gives you the momentum to solve the problem. 877-573-7825. By the way, people have asked questions, what does a PhD in clinical psychology entail? Well, here's a sampling of the exam I had to do to get the PhD. It says here, based upon your knowledge of their works, evaluate the emotional stability, degree of adjustment, and repressed frustrations of each of the following: Alexander of Aphrodisias, Ramses II, Gregory of Nyssa, Hammurabi, Freud, Hitler, Idi Amin. Support your evaluation with quotations from each man's work. Making appropriate references is not necessary to translate. That's right. I got a 53, but I kept taking it. Item of business, good Lord permitting, this Friday. Catholic Radio, those of you there in Indianapolis or thereabouts area, I will be at St. Luke. They invited me to speak at the parish, St. Luke Parish, with Sister Diana. She orchestrated all this. I think you can get the information by calling the parish this Friday. I imagine it's about a 7 o'clock talk. That's usually when they are. So, okay, I heard, I'm torn. On one hand, I want to watch the news to keep up with events. Those events oftentimes have relevance to the practice of psychology or what people deal with in their day-to-day lives. On the other hand, it's just depressing, downer frustration, and I've been watching it long enough to realize that the really, really smart people that are supposed to be able to analyze all this stuff just as often as not are wrong. They can become wrong. Every so often, there is some piece of quasi-psychological, sociological event that is relevant to the understanding of how people tick. I heard, and I forget where this school district was, and I don't know the details, I don't know exactly how they were going to do this, but they didn't want the kids to have best friends. That's right. You separate it all out. We don't want anybody feeling special, because when you have somebody feeling special, that means somebody's being excluded. If I have a best friend, if my best friend is Biff, or Tiffany's best friend is Mackenzie, well, what about the other people who aren't best friends with Tiffany? And they feel bad. I don't know what is motivating this kind of thinking. It's everywhere. One could make a living. Well, matter of fact, I did write a book on this kind of stuff. What is the reasoning, the rationale, I would call it the irrational, of a policy? If it's a policy, maybe it's just an encouragement that you don't have a best friend. I will tell you, as a psychologist, we are doing a great job at creating fragile people. Taking whatever sliver of stress, whatever sliver of frustration or disappointment that I might have to deal with, get it out of my life. I shouldn't have to deal with the frustration of not being somebody's best friend. In the long run, this is creating people that are not dealing with life well. It's one drop in the bucket of creating a supposed stress-free existence that is only making us more easily stressed. So what if I'm not somebody's best friend? There are other avenues. There are other people I can be with. To say in a blanket statement that children are to be discouraged from having a best friend goes totally against human nature. There are people that I relate to better than others. There are people that I am close to their morality, because of their personality, because of their sense of humor, whatever it might be. And if that person just happens to be a best friend, how is it that somehow, some way, other people can't deal with that? Now, in my personal situation, I can sort of understand that. Because if they all want to be my best friend, and I have a best of the best, then by extension, there are people being left out. Okay, I got that. But I will tell you, dear people, an awful lot of folks who struggle with life are struggling because they cannot deal with the slightest disappointments and frustration. The word snowflake has been used to describe college students who just can't take when somebody disagrees with them, who just can't take an opinion that's counter to their own, who just can't take a different life perspective. How should they have to? They shouldn't have to even listen to this. They should find a safe space. Well, shoot, we're creating snowflakes way back in elementary school. I don't want you to have a best friend. Spread it out. Make everybody feel included. Hey, there are some folks that I wouldn't want my kids to be best friends with. I would want them to feel excluded from certain kids. You know the irony? Here's the irony to all this. You're starting to get a clash of nonsense notions. Nonsense notions inevitably clash with each other. For example, if I am special, I am a unique, wonderful, valuable human being, and that's what I'm supposed to think because that's how important it is to me that my self-image be so elevated. Okay, so there is the stress on self-image, which is now clashing with the idea that I'm just normal, kind of like everybody else. See, because I can't be anybody's best friend. Well, that could hurt my self-image, couldn't it? I'll tell you, dear people, we used to have a phrase back when I was at the mental health centers working. Treatment creates the need for a problem. Sometimes psychology and its enlightened notions can create the very thing that it wants to, what, avoid? I don't want to create people that are emotionally fragile, but yet by ideas like you can't have a best friend because other kids will feel bad and they shouldn't feel bad and nobody should have to deal with the fact that they're not a best friend of somebody, we're creating the very kind of emotional fragility that we were supposedly designed to intervene and fix. 877 573-7825. And I just want to tell you, if you don't want to be my best friend, that's okay. You can be a better friend. You can be a moderate friend. We're all friends here. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Well, wow, that is not a happy high.
You're not fit yet.
Not fit. I'm the doctor.
No, doctor. I'm the doctor, and I say that you're not fit.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, storytelling is the essential way that our Lord and the liturgy of the Church immerses us into the drama and message of the Scriptures. Our special guest, Eric Groth, tells stories
through the medium of film.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9. On 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On our next Christ is the Answer program, Father Ricardo presents a pair of talks he gave at the Our Lady of Fatima conference at his parish in October 2017. Have nothing to do with the dragon, and God wants his world back, and it's our job to help him. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 7, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet. Christ is the Answer, topics of Christian concern from the Catholic perspective.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Now, at the Ave Maria online store, we have A Reason to Believe, an apologetic for the resurrection by Father John Ricardo. The identity of Jesus boils down to one of three options. Is Jesus Lord, liar, or a lunatic? The key is found in the resurrection. This topic takes a deep dive and then asks you to think critically about the answers. An apologetic for the resurrection is at the Ave Maria online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
In mathematics, but then I saw the PhD test for mathematics. Oh man, here it is. I got out of mathematics. It says if x equals pi times r squared, construct a formula showing how long it would take a fire ant to drill a hole through a dill pickle. If the length girth ratio of the ant to the pickle is 98.17:1, I'll just stick with the psych stuff. This is Dr. Ray Grandy. Let's get to the phones. I'm a little nervous about this first call here because given the way that I can be a little edgy, I'm afraid that our caller, our anonymous caller from Texas, will be, well, sensitive to something I might say. Hi, caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, I don't have to watch myself, do I?
No.
Okay. I'm glad.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're coming through clear, dear.
Okay, good.
Now, this thin skin that you are talking about, I assume it's your skin, right?
Right.
And who is it? Is it certain people that can pierce your thin skin easier than others?
Yes, people that I love, people whom I'm in relationship with, my husband, my family, you know, my close family members or close friends even.
You answered the question. You didn't even need me to answer the question. You did it. Okay, you ready? You be the psychologist. Ready? Why would the people that you love so much have the ability to, well, get under your skin or pierce your skin or make you feel thin skin? Why would that be?
Trying to figure that out.
I give you a chance to be a psychologist, and you are fumbling around.
Yes.
You want me to bail you out?
Yes, please.
Okay, dear. Two things. Obviously, the people you love have the strongest ability to make you feel like junk because you care what they think.
Yeah.
If right. You know, say the male person doesn't like you. Okay, so you see the male person once a day, maybe. And the male person's curmudgeon-y, and so what? But if your kid or your husband or your mother, they say stuff that reflects upon you. It's like, oh, wait a minute. You're supposed to love me, and you're supposed to like me, and you're supposed to affirm me, and you're supposed to be, why are you doing that? Okay, so that's one. The other thing, and I know what this is, dear, when they say anything that smells critical, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You take it personally. You take it as a sign that somehow you're not competent. Somehow this is a commentary on your whole personhood, your motherhood. You know, if your husband says, if he says, I don't know, let's pick something that husbands say, you know, the last time you re-roofed the house, you left a couple shingles off. You know, just something every day. And you think, he's commenting that I'm just not a good wife and housekeeper. That's not what he's saying. Here's what I want you to do. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
When somebody says something, okay, when somebody says something, dear, that sounds or smells critical to you, rather than taking it as a comment on your whole person, your whole wifehood, your whole motherhood, your whole daughter-in-law-hood, whatever, view it as a criticism about one thing in particular. It's just a comment on, it's not about you. Let's say that you call up here and you say, Ray, I think your radio program stinks. Okay? I've got a lot of those. Okay. That's not beyond the realm of a... Now, I could do one of two things. I could say, oh, that's awful. That's just awful. I feel terrible. She's saying I'm incompetent. She's saying I'm no good. Okay? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if I say, well, she personally thinks my radio program stinks. Okay, I got that. Now, let's take it a step further. And let's say, in fact, it does stink. I poll 100 people, 92 of them say it stinks. Okay. That still doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It still doesn't mean my relationship mm-hmm. with God is going to suffer. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means, one, that person thinks it stinks, and two, it could stink. But that's a very narrow thing. And you got to quit When you hear these things, whatever you think are critical, you got to quit saying somehow, some way they're putting you down. And one more point, okay, sweetheart, I'm going to let you go with this. One more point, because I've been rambling here. You only have to worry about if it's true. That's it. You think to yourself, okay, is what they're saying true, and is it something I can correct? If it's not, okay, if you say they're coming at me for something that I think is not legit, then you have to look and say, what would motivate them to do that? Are they insecure? Do they have to,
yes,
make critical remarks to make themselves feel better? Why are they doing this? What is it about them that's making them be so critical?
Mm-hmm.
Just some thoughts. Now, I didn't say anything to get under your skin, did I?
No.
Oh, good.
No,
I'm glad.
I could take it.
That a girl. I was just training you. Thank you for such a nice call. Alrighty.
Thank
bye.
You.
Okay. All right. Now somebody just typed up there, and I think it doesn't come from a line, but it says your show stinks. That's coming from my producer. You know. Now he may have a point. He may have a point. Okay. Where is it here? Rachel, EWTN, listening online. Generalized anxiety, the number one probably emotional psychological symptom that exists. Hi, Rachel.
Well, okay, so you made me laugh. I knew you'd probably spoken about this before. So I'm a functioning agoraphobic. I am, in many ways, you would look at me and say, oh, she's accomplished a lot. Okay, but I've been like this for 30 years, and I know there are various causes that are rational, but, you know, a lot of irrational stuff. My question is this. Is this necessarily a malleable condition? I mean, can this be changed? I've kind of just accepted that I have problems with travel, for example, claustrophobia. Or should I continue to fight this? I don't fight it very well. I just kind of stay within a safe zone and do well at what I do. But I'm just tossing that out there.
30 years, Rachel?
Probably even when I look back into my childhood, it makes sense. I grew up in a ghetto neighborhood, so it actually makes some sense when I look at it in a rational way. It's not that it didn't make sense. Yeah, the outside was a bad place. I grew up in the Bronx in the 80s. But anyway.
Well, okay, let's give you some bullets here. One, people who struggle lifelong with anxiety oftentimes have a wiring predisposition, okay? Sort of the way you're wired. You're kind of an individual that may be reactive, if you want to put it that way. And it goes all the way back to your kidhood, just your temperament. Okay, so you got that. Your question, malleable, can you change it? Well, of course. That doesn't mean it's going to go away. That doesn't mean you're going to automatically never, ever be an anxious individual again. No, you may have some low level of anxiety until the day you leave this earth. Okay, coming and going. But a lot better. Okay, that's two. Three, you said something very significant. You said, I try to fight it. Don't fight it, Rachel.
Right.
Flow with
really?
It. Yes. Say to yourself, I know I'm going to feel this way. It isn't going to hurt me. And it is going to pass, because obviously it will. I'm not going to have a heart attack. I'm not going to faint. I don't have to go to the emergency room. I'm not going to lose my mind. This is anxiety. This is my body reacting. Okay. Yes. It's uncomfortable.
Okay.
But it is not going to hurt me. Okay. Distress. Just remember this. Distress is not danger. Now, you're going to be a look-back call, Rachel, because there's so much more I want to say, but the break is telling me to it. I will talk to you. Thanks, Rachel.
Are you tired of how your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. So the same reason you listen to Ave Maria Radio, get the Michigan Catholic for only $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000. Or visit themichigancatholic.org.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between. Biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and love, prayer and spirituality.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
How is the Holy Spirit evident in the church? In many ways, says the Catholic Catechism. Through the scriptures he inspired, in tradition, in her sacramental liturgy, in prayer where he intercedes for us, in her charisms and ministries, in the signs of her apostolic and ministerial life, in the witness of the saints. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Son and is truly God, consubstantial with the Father and the Son, according to the Catechism, inseparable from them in both the inner life of the Trinity and his gift of love for the world. The Son and the Spirit have a joint mission. The Son is the visible image of the invisible God, but, says the Catechism, it is the Spirit who reveals him. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
You got to be seriously mentally disturbed to lose that kind of contact with reality.
You know, they have that research that says you can't multitask. People think they can multitask, but if you multitask, any one of the tasks is less efficient. Well, I disagree with that. I am great at multitasking. I can waste time, be unproductive, and procrastinate all at the same time. None of them are less efficient. Rebecca is calling from, hey, Eric, what does NB stand for? He's on the phone. Oh, Nebraska? Rebecca, how are you, dear?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, Eric doesn't realize that the abbreviation for Nebraska is N-E. He put up N-B. This is, Rebecca, this is the kind of stress I have to deal with. Oh, I'm okay. Let me just deep breathe. Okay, all right. Now tell me about what's going on that your parents aren't happy about.
Well, I think mainly they weren't happy. Before my husband and I got married in May of 2015, and currently my daughter is 8. She'll be 9 in April, but I have her from a previous relationship. And my husband adopted her at the beginning of October of 2017. And my parents just thought that, we needed to be married longer, so we would have a more stronger, marriage. They thought that Alexis, needed to be older, to make the decision for herself whether or not she wanted, Ross to adopt her. And I mean, they just had, I guess personal.
Oh man, I'm really messed up then. I am totally messed up, Rebecca. Because all 10 of my kids didn't have a say in whether they were going to be adopted by me or not. Do you believe that? Oh my gosh. And and another thing. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm even worse than you are. I didn't ask my mom and dad if I could. Oh! Rebecca, your situation is making me feel terrible. Are you picking up on this, dear?
Yes, I am.
I would say this. First of all, you were married for 4 years when your hubby adopted your little Alexa, right?
It was like 2.5 years.
Okay. Secondly, I could see your mom and dad having an opinion. They can have their opinion about how you were supposed to do it. But what makes you think that somehow, some way, that decision isn't yours and your husband's? Right?
Before I got married to him, I lived with my parents, with my daughter, for 3 years. And they obviously spend a lot of time with her, and they have a lot of energy and a lot of just love into this child. And
what would possibly be their objection to your husband adopting her? They're saying that you should have waited longer and your marriage is longer, but wait a minute. Are they saying you have a bad marriage? Are they saying that he's not a good husband? First of all, it's none of their business, but even if it were, what's their objection?
I don't know.
I take that it bothers you a lot. Because they didn't approve of the way you and your husband did it, right?
Yes.
Well, my dear, they can have their opinion, they can disagree, but in any way, are they punishing you for this? Are they withdrawing? Are they criticizing you? What are they doing to, quote-unquote, make you feel so bad?
Well, I have not spoken to my parents since about a week before the adoption happened, which is a really long time for me to not talk to them.
How long's it been?
Well, it was like the end of September.
Oh, so we're talking 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. So I haven't talked to them in that long. In December, a few days before Christmas, we did go to therapy with them. And,
Rebecca, you know what I'm smelling here, dear? I'm smelling that this adoption thing isn't the only thing that's going on. That in fact, there's some other stuff on how their parents are viewing your marriage or your husband, or their involvement in little Alexa's life, or they think that they're going to be shut out now. Is any of that stuff starting to percolate around there?
Well, yeah. I mean, a week before the adoption happened, they accused, over text message, they accused my husband of being a pedophile. And so because of that, and just how they acted, that's why we have not had any contact with them.
That's a pretty serious accusation. They base it on anything? Did they base it on anything?
Well, kind of. A few days before that message, they were at our house because we had just moved into a new house. And it was at night, and I was leaving to go somewhere out with ladies or something. And my 8-year-old and my 22-month-old right now, they were in the bathtub. They're both girls. And they were in the bathtub together, and my toddler was freaking out. And so I told Ross, because I wanted to leave, I told Ross to go into the bathroom and get Faustina out of the tub because she was freaking out. And
okay,
so,
hurry along, dear. I've got about 1 minute. Please, hurry. Hurry.
Oh, Ross went in there to get her out, and because he saw Alexis in the bathtub, that's where they got the...
That's it. That's the basis of it, because the little 8-year-old daughter was in the bathtub. He went and got the baby, and that was it. Wow.
Yep.
That's a heck of a stretch. That is a heck of a stretch. I got to believe they don't like your husband for whatever the reason. They don't like you and him, and they don't think you should have married him. Is that the case?
Well, my parents would not have given him their blessing if they didn't like him.
Okay. Well, I think you do your best to reconcile with your parents. You don't not talk to your parents for 5 months. You sit down, you convey to them this is not something to base that kind of accusation on. Secondly, we made a good decision. My husband loves Alexa, and he wants to adopt her, and he did. Wow, there's other stuff going on, I know.
Come and enjoy a concert with Classical Bells on Friday, April 20th at 7 p.m. at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in Ann Arbor. This uplifting music will entertain and inspire. Come to enjoy the music of this handbell concert and support the St. Francis Music Ministry. Celebrate spring with the theme, A Walk in the Park, with the group Classical Bells, Friday, April 20th at St. Francis in Ann Arbor. Details at classicalbells.com.
Looking for a warm, sunny place to live and put down roots? Come take a look at Ave Maria, Florida, one of the country's fastest growing communities. It has been named Community of the Year for the past 3 years. Ave Maria offers homes for all ages. Whether you are single, have a family, or looking for a quiet senior living community, it has homes in many price ranges. There is a beautiful Catholic church in the center of town, giving a feel of a European city. And the town offers many big city amenities without compromising the small town atmosphere. Ave Maria is the proud home of Ave Maria University, a flourishing Catholic university, a Catholic K-12 school, and Ave Maria Parish, a Catholic church that offers several daily and weekend masses, along with convenient confession times and adoration. The university and parish life offer many unique opportunities for the town residents. Want to learn more about Ave Maria? Call the Ave Maria New Home and Welcome Center at 888-841-3477 or visit their website at avemaria.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Television show Living Right with Dr. Ray on the WTN Global Catholic Radio Network, entering its soon-to-be seventh season. 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Saturday nights, and a couple times during the week. Okay. Before I go to Kyle from Texas, I want to tell a little story. Now, Eric Dumont, our assistant call screener, has a little 5.5-year-old girl, and a little child was not sleeping through the night yet. When somebody asked my wife about our 9th son, Peter, he was about, 2-3 months old, is Petey sleeping through the night yet? My wife said, I don't know if he is, but we are. Yeah, Eric, you see, you just kind of get numb toward the high numbers of children there. It just kind of happens. Kyle from Texas, I got to get Kyle some sleep here. He's just being buffaloed by the children. They found his bed. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, hey, how you doing?
Would you give them directions? Do they know where it is? Did you show them where your bedroom is? How'd they find you?
Yeah, unfortunately, we kind of let them in. They don't leave.
They just won't go. How old are they?
Well, it's only one that has the problem with it. We've got a one that's almost two and one that's almost three. And our little three-year-old, she's the one who just gets stuck in there, and she throws a huge fit. We were thinking about calling the exorcist, but I figured I'd call you first.
Okay, I'm before the exorcist. I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's make it easy. We'll make it real easy. First of all, I can get in trouble for this because there are those folks that believe that there is a lot of meaning to a child coming to a parent's bed. It has to do with them feeling attached and secure, and that if the parent doesn't allow the child to stay in the bed, that somehow they are ignoring the child's emotional wishes, and this is going to have reverberating effects all the way to the Social Security. Of course, they're... One could make a counter case to that. However, having dealt with hundreds of parents in situations like yours, Kyle, typically most children do not leave the bed unless they are made to leave the bed. It is nice when a child says, I think I'm ready for my own bed now, and then ultimately they leave. However, the bulk of children do not do that. They have to be told and forced. Here's what I would say to your little one. Rather than go through the battle at night, you might simply say, okay, you tell her, if you sleep in mommy and daddy's bed, tomorrow, when you ask for some things, it's going to be no. Now, she's not going to remember that. So tomorrow, as she asks for certain privileges, where my juice cup? Oh, sweetheart, I can't give you your juice cup. You got to have this plastic cup because you didn't stay in your bed last night. I want to watch Mulan. Oh, you know I was going to let you watch Mulan, but you didn't stay in your bed last night. And then if you go out to eat and you're sitting there and you're eating ice cream and your little two-year-old is eating ice cream and she looks at you and you say, oh, you know what, sweetheart, I really wanted to give you ice cream, but you didn't stay in your bed last night. You have to stay in your bed. I'm telling you, if that don't work within a week, I'll be shocked.
All right, then. Thank you, doctor. I will definitely give that a try.
Call me back. Tell me how smart I am about that.
Most definitely. Thank you.
Okay, Kyle. Appreciate it, buddy. You know, you get in trouble when you make suggestions and people don't agree with them, or people have certain personal experience that the suggestion you offer counters their personal experience. I will tell you, though, I have gotten, I have gotten some of the most hostile responses when I have said, if you want the child out of your bed, you take the child out of your bed, okay? There is no research of substance, of legitimacy, that says that somehow these kids are going to be psychologically stunted. Yes, there are people who claim this. The research is very questionable at a lot of levels. But in fact, common sense experience would tell you of the 97% of preschoolers who try to get into their parents' bed and are made to get out, through various means, they don't go on to have psychologically stunted, emotionally deprived, empathy-hurting existences. It just isn't so. There are way too many factors that can intervene. You can't measure something like that. It's not possible. Take it from a PhD researcher. You cannot do that. You cannot causally say, because this child made to leave my bed and felt some sense of disrupted attachment, that at the age of 16, this is a personality characteristic he has because of it. You can't. Way too far removed, and countless other influential variables. Okay, that was my rant and rave on that one. 877-573-7825. Okay. I better take a break, and when we come back, continue to
Golly.
That Ray, he's something. No, it's a stupid, but I'm not doing it.
What kind of a fool have you met me for?
What, is it more than one kind?
Dr. Ray lovingly calls his producers
call screamers. I mean, can you imagine if those guys were actually like that? Ring, ring. Thanks for calling the doctor's in. Who are you? Where are you calling from? What do you want?
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system? Paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Would you like to learn more about your Catholic faith and be a more effective evangelist? Sacred Heart Major Seminary trains leaders serving in parishes and ministries across the country. Attend classes at our Detroit campus or take courses online. Learn from faculty who are experts in the new evangelization. There's tuition help up to 80% off. Learn more at shms.edu/study. That's shms.edu/study.
I do close-up magic professionally, and some of my act includes a branch of magic called mentalism. What I do is not actual magic for one simple reason. There's no such thing. Yes, the devil can manipulate certain aspects of reality, like the time the magicians of Pharaoh were able to replicate some of the miracles of Moses. But magic does not involve God directly intervening in history, nor does it mean that the devil is at work. It's just pretend. There's actually a patron saint of magic, St. John Bosco, who was a world-class sleight-of-hand artist and street magician. His act was aimed at getting the attention of the poor kids in Turin so he could evangelize them. I use magic in my talks and parish missions for the same reason. It's a great teachable moment to distinguish between mere tricks and a real miracle. This is Patrick Coffin at patrickcoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Okay, Dr. Ray, thank you so much. That was very, very helpful, and then I should have realized that, your wisdom surpasses anything that I've encountered in a while.
You know, sometimes I'm nervous about your cherry picks from things I've said. The problem is I've obviously said those things, and obviously there's enough for him to choose from. I have to be a little more cautious here, knowing he's always ready to extract something that I've said. Myra from Louisville, Kentucky, went through a similar situation to a previous caller, Rachel. Rachel's situation, as best we can figure it out, is there's definitely some hostility with her parents. And the parents, it's very confusing. I sense there's just an awful lot of other things going on. In a nutshell, the parents were quite unhappy that Rachel's husband from 4 years ago adopted at that time. Well, no, actually, married Rachel when her daughter from a previous relationship was 4. However, recently he adopted this child who's now 8, and Rachel's parents are extremely unhappy about it. They accused him, at least from what Rachel described, as being a pedophile, on the basis of going into a bathtub and getting out a 2.5-year-old who was bathing with an 8-year-old. Okay, so Myra says, Dr. A, that is a risky situation because something similar happened to me. Hi, Myra.
Hi, Dr. A. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Why you think it... Well, I suggested some type of reconciliation, and you're saying, I don't know if I like that, Dr. A.
It's a double-edged sword, and there's too many nuances, I'm sure, in her situation as well as what we went through to get into all of it, but I would suspect that there's either serious control issues, because I also, with my 2 children who were 2 and 1 at the time, lived with my parents for a while after my marriage ended. I was not Catholic at the time. My mother, bless her heart, could be the poster child for religion being the opiate. She's Pentecostal, and she was also very controlling. My father was an alcoholic, and I was an only child, and so I was the only thing she had control over. So when I moved for college 4 hours away and began dating the man who's now been my husband for 20 years, she was very upset because he helped at bath time. And she warned me and told me she was praying. And then the next thing I knew, when she had the children for a visit, she had gone to the local sheriff's office and filed sexual molestation charges against him. And further, drug and sexual abuse charges against myself. So needless to say, this went on for a very long time. My husband, who I've now been married to for 20 years, who wasn't my husband at the time, who was the one accused, is and was a cradle Catholic. Our priest at the time, that was his priest, said, this is a nuclear bomb dropped on your family. So when you're ignoring something like that in the attempt to stay reconciled or to reconcile, you have to take into account the, in my opinion, mental state of the parties who would make such an accusation as that without proof.
That is
because
true.
To me, it sounds like it's a control issue, and that was the same issue, I feel. Well, I mean, it's sin, it's the devil, it's whatever. But
okay, you're doing, Myra, you're doing something that folks typically do. When you've had a very powerful, negative experience like that, ongoing, okay, you extrapolate when you hear something similar in another situation, okay?
Yeah.
Now, from what Rachel said, obviously I said, well, there's got to be others. There are a whole lot of other things going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of unanswered questions. Okay. The quote-unquote accusation, apparently, they didn't go anywhere with it. They just kind of said, and the other thing we don't know is if they even used the word pedophile. They may have simply said what he did was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. She's too old, and you don't walk in there and see your little girl in a bathtub when she's 8. Okay, so that's unanswered too. Obviously, if that's all it was, then there certainly seems to be no indication whatsoever that it's true. Now, your situation was much more severe. I mean, they actually pressed charges. And it's ongoing, so you had to...
No. Well, it did go on for a very, very, very long time, and it was, and I kept county hopping, so one county would...
Yeah, you had to protect yourself. Yours was,
yeah.
At least from what Rachel said and from what you're saying, yours much more extreme. Yours much more dangerous and risky, and I would have given you... Had you called me and told me that, I would have said, oh, boy... You got to seriously think about having contact, okay? Your situation is very different. I know we've had people call the show, and I've had clients where, in fact, parents or in-laws have accused them of abuse of some type. It is totally unsubstantiated, and the parents and the in-laws won't let it go. They just will not let it go.
Yeah.
And I have told them, I said, well, you're stuck. You're going to have to just cut contact with these folks. You have no other option because they're dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I can certainly see that. So thank you. Thank you for the call, because you're right that there's situations.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Dr.
Myra.
Peace be with
okay,
you.
Honey.
We pray for all your callers today.
Oh, appreciate that. They do too. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
All right. I got real quick, I got about a minute here. I'm going to go to Gladys calling from The Rock in Cleveland. Hi, Gladys. You've got about a minute and a half, dear. What's on your mind? Gladys, you there? Gladys just disappeared. Okay. Sergio, now you have less than a minute and a half. Hi, Sergio. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I just want to ask, is begging and tipping one the same?
No. You mean tipping a waiter or waitress?
No. I'm not. But I don't like tipping. And my ex, well, soon to be ex, she's more mortified of homeless people asking for money. They both pull at your heartstrings. So I figure that's, you know, I mean, saying if you don't give to the person on the street, or if you don't tip, then you feel bad, you know. So it's like, why? I don't understand that.
Pretty significant differences between somebody working for a living, and part of the arrangement is that people who get service show them they appreciate it, and a person that you know nothing about on a street who is begging for money. A radical difference there, Sergio. Good question. Call back. I'd like to get in more detail on it. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Appreciate it. This is Dr. Ray, Andrew, and Eric. Thank you for your help. Walk with God. You got kids, you hold them tightly by the hand. Use Purell. You know, they play in the sand and the dirt and the mud, especially little boys, that kind of thing.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.